This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are back from our 4th of July celebrations as we talk about some stuff Goose Island's doing, trips to On Tour and Forbidden Root, and then we get ready for some events happening this weekend. All that and more on this week's episode.
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, and it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? What you think it is?
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this.
Rah, rah, rah!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up? I'm Nick White.
Yep, it's after 4th of July. Fireworks, all gone.
All gone, man. Did you did you make it over to Indiana to get your discount fireworks, your legal fireworks? You can't buy them in Illinois.
No, I don't roll like that. Okay. I don't go to Indiana.
Fair enough. Moving on.
So what we do here on Chicago Beer Pass is we drink beer, we talk about drinking beer, and then we talk more about drinking beer, future drinks, and then beer news.
These are facts, Brad.
Yeah.
Facts only.
There's always the news. I like the news.
The news is fun, especially every week. You know, everyone's in their own little bubble. Gives us a chance to just talk about, you know, the happenings of the day. Mm-hmm. You know, this week in Chicago beer, that's what this kind of feels like.
Yeah.
You know, I dig it.
Mm-hmm. And this week we are drinking a juicy IPA here. It's even got juice in the name.
Man, juicy, 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 man. This is the Son of Juice IPA from Maplewood in Logan Square.
Yeah.
Hey, looks like they're brewing this out of Grand Central, which is, you know, the one by Goose Clybourne, Westtown area.
Okay.
Where they're just a contract brewer, those guys.
Okay, right.
Yeah, these are the Tall Boy.
I didn't know that
Tall Boy four packs
was open yet. Can you go into that space?
Man, you know, Beguile, they're brewing there. I think the War Pigs guys have a contract with them now.
Okay.
I think they're rolling. I mean, we should probably go see what's up.
Pop in and see what's up, yeah.
Yeah.
And they have the date code on the bottom. This is packaged or brewed, probably packaged, like 2 weeks ago.
That's lovely.
Or a week ago.
Right? Yeah, that's like last week.
That's some fresh IPA action.
And none of that Julianne bullshit where it's like, it's a date code, but it's like 20 consecutive digits and you have no idea how to read it.
Right, yeah.
This just tells you the date.
I just picked up some Stone Hammer IPA.
Okay.
And on their box, they kind of are advocating, hey, you check the dates on milk and eggs when you buy them. Why shouldn't you do that on your beer?
Yeah.
So that's cool that they're doing that because I feel like Stone's beers suffer greatly when not fresh.
like a steep cliff.
Yeah, it's like, it's bad. When you have a fresh one, you're like, oh my God, this is great. When you have an unfresh Stone beer, you're like, why did I buy Stone?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, this is the one I was drinking from Stone was like a month old. So this is, I guess, makes sense. This is brewed
like
2 miles from where we are right now. Yeah. But yeah, the juicy IPA is like all the rage right now.
It is in vogue for sure. I know I went to a launch party for Maplewood at the flagship Benny's across from Goose Clybourne for Husky Pants, which I could be wrong, but I think it's like an imperial version of this beer.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah. I like that it tells you all these like grains and hops on the side. I was drinking some beers from Ohio recently, and they did the same thing. I kind of like it.
Yeah, I like it looks like there's four different hops listed here. And then, you know, like the Forbidden Root and Three Floyds guys, when they did a juicy IPA, you can do these things different ways, apparently. Like that one in particular had like lactose in it and some fruit, just fruit added to it. This one looks like Pilsner malt, which is a lighter malt, and then some oaks, two different types of oats.
Jeez, okay.
So there you go. Take that for data.
Yeah. So we'll sip on these as we talk about this past week and what we checked out.
Right on.
So Nick, where did you end up? I know you like left here and you went to Goose, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, for sure. We went down to the mighty Goose Island Beer Company. The only location left now, the production facility. Is Clybourne ever going to open? It was supposed to be open by now.
I think it's the summer of this sometime this year.
So with the Goose, man. I went to Goose for the, they have R&D night there.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have like the, you know, the Last Supper style table with maybe like 12 people. And then Mike Siegel, who we've interviewed before, we've had him on the podcast. He's the innovation manager there.
Okay.
And they just talk about their new releases essentially, right? Every quarter. So the main project they have in flight is called the Cooper's Project. So this is basically their off-season barrel program that they created for that time of the year when it's not Bourbon County season.
Okay.
Right? They're like, hey, we got all these barrels. Let's make something happen. So this focuses on – the first one was a Scotch Ale. And then the second one was a Blonde Doppelbock. So they're picking lighter styles, and then they're putting them in the barrel – sometimes for like half the time of BCS, and sometimes they'll do like these blends where they'll stick it in a barrel for like 4 months and then add fresh beer.
Okay.
So that's what they're doing here.
And these beers are really as limited as Bourbon County is.
Right.
Like anyone who's listening or watching, Bourbon County is not a limited beer. It just happens to come out in a season. There's a lot of it, and there's that beer like this in the off season that doesn't have the hype right now for this project.
And I'll tell you, man, these the first two we've had are pouring pretty good. You know, I think this Blonde Doppelbock in particular was a little bit better for me than the Scotch Ale. Scotch Ale was a little too dense, a little too rich for me.
Yeah, Scotch Ales are hit or miss for me.
You know, especially like, you know, on its own, a Scotch Ale would be that for me. Mm. And then you stick it in this barrel and you know, the oak and the woods there, but it's also sweeter. And I'm like, I can't, this is too much. Yeah. But this Doppelbock, man, this Blonde Doppelbock was spot on, I thought.
Nice.
Yeah, everything you want out of life in this.
Right
in
there
this
in
thing.
That.
Right there, right there. 9.2%. It was pouring really good. Another favorite one, and there's six. We'll run through all six quickly, but I just want to spotlight the two that I like the most. The this Brasserie Blanc, which is their, so they got some, it's a golden ale, first of all.
Okay.
It's a golden ale, and then they got this orange Muscat grape juice from Napa Valley, and then they stuck that in a red wine barrel for 14 months with like Brettanomyces and another wild ale, wild yeast, so this was really good. This has brunch written all over it. This has like breakfast, you know.
Nice.
You know, sunset.
What's it called again? Beach.
It's called Brasserie Blanc.
Brasserie Blanc.
Yeah. So they added oats, wheat, and sugar. Really light body, lots of flavor.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, but then what they're also doing in addition to those two is they have a juicy double, surprise, surprise.
Okay.
And an Imperial IPA. So two different new IPAs from Goose Island.
Well, they own like all the hops.
All the hops.
In the U.S., so they have to figure out something to do with these hops, right?
Exactly, yeah. So Imperial 49 is an ode to that really big hop farm, Elk Mountain Farms. It sits on the 49th parallel, which is the same parallel that a lot of the hop growing regions in Germany sits on.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So that's got five different hops in it. I think that's just a bold, in-your-face American IPA. But then this Juicy Double is a take on what is the in vogue style, the one we're having now, which is a juicy IPA.
Yeah. Okay.
And you know,
did it feel juicy? Did you have it?
Yeah. I mean, this wasn't like juice in the way that Microphone or Maplewood would describe juice.
Okay.
You know, because we had Pinball on the show, right? It was the two brothers.
Yeah.
Pale Ale. And they refer to that as a juicy.
What?
Yeah, that's what it says on the bottle, on the can. And this Juicy Double was in the vein of that, where there's juicy in the name, but, you know, that.
More fruity than juicy, right?
Right.
This has this orange juice, like watered down orange juice kind of vibe. Going.
Right, like it's softer, it's rounded, it's fruit forward, right? Mm-hmm. And then also it's cloudy and it's got like a, you know, like a softer mouthfeel too.
Yeah, mimosas.
Mimosa is a term that comes to mind, you know. Yeah, but these, like the Goose Island one and the Two Brothers one, didn't really fit that box that we're talking about when we think juicy.
Okay.
For me. So, yeah.
But overall, neat stuff they have coming out here.
Yeah, man, I was I'm really excited about the Cooper Project.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I don't think there's a season for barrel aged. For me, in my life, there's no season for barrel aged beers. Bring it on.
Anytime, any day.
Yeah, I don't care when it is. Let's do it. So I was excited about that. But yeah, man, shout out to them for nailing these these fooders too, man. They got a fooder project there, and they released the second entry in that. It was an apricot wild ale.
Yeah.
That was the first entry in that was like this ode. I always get this wrong.
Ode to
The Flemish red ale.
Oud brun.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. So both of those were fantastic. Mm-hmm. So yeah, nice. It's nice to see that they are. You know, they're not resting on their laurels. You know, these are some guys that have come up with, you know, for the past 20 years, come up with some innovative styles,
yeah.
You know, kind of changed the way we as Chicagoans looked at beer, and then they went on to do their nationwide thing. But that hasn't changed, even though, you know, much of what they sell, their top-selling beer is the Goose IPA that they make at all the AB plants.
Yeah.
But they're still putting a lot of effort into what beers they make here and making them fun and making them different.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a few other notes about that, but go ahead.
Oh, cool. What if for their Bourbon County, they came out in cans and the packaging looked like little barrels? How would you feel about that?
The
design on the package looked like a barrel. Like, not the can. It was, like, wooden, because that would be kind of...
Like,
but if the package looks like a little barrel,
I just picture root beer when you said that.
Like, I guess so.
I feel like I've seen some root beer.
Is that a Barks root beer?
I feel like Barks root beer did that. Yeah,
Bourbon County Stout in cans.
I hope they don't do that, man. Because you know, some of my favorite beers, like Hunter, this big milk stout from, it's like a double milk stout from 18th Street. But it's in this can now. And I'm like, no, we need it. It's like 9%. We need it in a bottle.
You kind of have like your brain messes with you at that point where you think canned beer, light, easy drinking.
Yeah.
And then you have a 10% beer and you're like, why did I'm so drunk after like three of these? This doesn't make sense.
Or like the Gubna from Oscar
old,
Blues.
Old Chubb too does
old
that.
Old Chubb. Some of these beers, I stick them in a barrel, like tequila barrel-aged Gubna. It looks just like this. It's a tall boy, fucking four pack. It's $19. It's fucking like 11% each. Yeah. But yeah, shout out to Goose Island, man, because on tap, they got some different stuff on. You know, sometimes you go there and it's just like, oh, we got 312 and we got, you know, Matilda and this kind of shit. But they have an Adam beer on, which is a barrel aged strong German ale that's blended with a Goes. That was really fun. And then they've got something from.
Is Adam a style?
Yeah.
Oh, because Two Brothers has that Adam Smasher, which is their like pumpkin beer.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize Adam.
Well, Adam, you're thinking Adam like the particle.
Yeah.
Adam like the name, like the male name, like Adam.
Like so, like Hair of the Dog also has an Adam, beer called Adam.
Like ADAM, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. This Adam beer is apparently a style. It's when you take a barrel aged strong ale and blend it with a Goes.
Not Adam from Hair of the Dog.
No.
But. Interesting. Okay.
And then there's Freigeist. Yeah, they did a collab with a brewery called Freigeist in Germany. So their beer is called Goosegeist. Some fun stuff happening at Goosegeist.
That's a good name.
I like it.
Freigeist. I feel like it's just like Freigeist.
Yeah.
That's a restaurant you hit up. After too many beers, let's go to Freigeist, right?
Right.
Goosegeist. That's cool.
So yeah, man. So it was good to get over there, you know? Mm-hmm. It's been a while for me, so.
Nice. Awesome. Let's see. What did I make it to? I made it to On Tour.
Right on.
On Saturday, I saw them. They sent Instagram. They tagged us in this, actually, on Instagram.
Our Instagram is hopping, man. Yeah. I'd advise everyone to go check out our gram.
And they were like, oh, it's $5 crawler fills.
Nice.
And I had a party I was going to that night, and I didn't have any beer yet to take, so I was going to go pick some up. I was like, well, let's go to On Tour and hit up this $5 crawler thing. That's an amazing deal.
It's a win.
So I stopped in there. I had three little taster, like 4-ounce tasters, and then picked up a couple crawlers to go. I don't know if they do the crawlers every Saturday or if this was a special like 4th of July thing, but it wasn't all their beers. It was like limited ones, but yeah. It was kind of a sweet deal. They already had them like pre-filled too, so they were just like, here we go. It was almost like just having a can, like, here you go for it.
I like the crawler over the howler, same size, but the glass versus the can. You know, the can is the way to go, you know.
Yeah. So I picked up the Pilsner, and I want to say like their Session IPA or Session Pale, something like that.
Yeah.
And it was busy in there. Someone was having like a birthday party. They're just Yeah, it was happening.
On tour, man.
Yeah, there was a brewery tour happening, which is funny because I was sitting at the bar and you can see the tour happen because the brewery's right there and it's not glass or anything. So you can kind of hear them talking and it's kind of.
You bring fun. And it's you bring your own food there, right? They don't have a kitchen, right?
Right. You couldn't bring your own food, yeah. But I just stopped in really for the beer and for the beer to go. So.
That's a good call. Mm-hmm. Dude, busting at the seams with breweries, man.
I know, yeah.
It's weird, man. Because, you know, other towns are not going through this. You just assume, like, it's a thing.
We have a new brewery open in Chicago almost, like, weekly.
Yeah. I mean, like, you go to, like, L.A. or New York City, you know, Houston. I mean, I'm sure they're opening, but not at the rate.
Boise.
Yeah. Shout out to Boise, Idaho. Hello. Yeah, nobody's opening breweries like we are. It's bizarre. Yeah.
And then also in that area, what was it, on Monday, I made it over to Forbidden Root again.
Right on.
Mainly for lunch because that burger is pretty good. Even though
it's got the white cheddar, the fucking jardinera. Oh, yeah, forget about it.
The price is it. But on Mondays, you get a beer, a bourbon shot, and a burger for $15.
The $15 holler.
Yeah.
I don't know where that came
from. So that's worth it. That's way worth it. And I had a beer called Snooze Juice. So
okay.
Very similar to this.
Yeah.
A great New England. They had pale ale on it, but it felt more like a New England style IPA.
Yeah.
Like it was very juicy and sweet. And yeah, it was really nice. Like probably my favorite beer I've had from Forbidden Root.
Right on. Yeah. Because they do, their root beer is a root beer in name, but it's really. More, it's a beer with like roots and botanicals in it. It almost has like a lot of like, it's like forward with like medicinal qualities and like oak and bark more so than traditional root beer.
So now that they've gotten their beers working out, they're better now and their food is good.
Brad Chimaluski, holds no punches.
They got to work on their service. It took us an hour and a half to get lunch at the bar.
Really?
They were so slow. This place. I don't even understand what you're doing.
Did they hit you with like a little appetizer? Maybe like some gourmet popcorn? Because they did that at the opening party.
Well, like we ordered an appetizer. That came out quick. But then our burger and Maeve got like a salad hour and a half later. And we're getting this. It's like
for lunch.
It's like, I don't know. How was it sitting there for a long time? Am I going to get sick if I eat this now?
Get your life together. Bring me my burger.
Yeah. It's like, it's lunch, so I can only have so many beers here.
Don't make me yell at you.
Yeah. there's only so many beers I also like on your menu, so.
And it's also lunch.
This is a problem, yeah.
Right. I hear you, man. I hear you.
But that Snooze Juice was great.
Yeah?
Yeah, one of the better New England-style IPAs things I've had in a while.
Groovy.
Yeah.
Very cool, man.
I think that was all I made it to. I think I posted photos of both those places on the Instagram. I know I mentioned that already.
Right on. And then Chicago Beer Pass Instagram. It's good stuff.
Yeah. You gotta get some more up there.
Yeah.
Keep them going.
So I was on a rooftop this week.
Yeah.
It's the newest rooftop in the Magnificent Mile area. You know, Streeterville, I think, is the title of that neighborhood.
Okay.
Oh, but anyway, it's Noyan is the name of the place. It's a sushi spot at the top of a hotel, right? And, you know, it's sushi, sake, and barbecue.
Okay.
That's their tagline. But they have 10 beers on tap. And you'll be excited about this. Of the 10 beers, most of the list was like this, like Japanese and like Asian-inspired stuff and some Hitachino stuff. But then Bell's was...
Hitachino's so expensive.
Dude, and I want to experiment because I like the white ale. I love it a lot. But then I see the other ones and I want to get them. I'm like, I got to fall back. It's like, just like
$10 each.
What the fuck, man? Like, why is this bottle on the shelf for $9? It's a 12-ounce bottle. All right. But Bell's and Alarmist were holding their own on this list. It's a 10-draft list. The only two American beers were Bell's and Alarmist.
Okay.
I was like, how about that?
That's pretty good.
Look at that Gary Gully getting it done.
That's awesome. Did you, anything else you make it to over the weekend?
One more thing, man. I just got back from Summerfest.
Yeah.
Up in Milwaukee. Wisconsin, the home of Serial Killers and Happy Days.
Okay. I think they got better things going on than those two, but okay.
Oh, but this is like a Summerfest is like this 2-week party up there. Great Taste of Midwest too.
Yeah,
that is. I think that's the best thing in Milwaukee. I think that's the best. That's not in Milwaukee. The best thing in Wisconsin.
That's the best thing in Wisconsin.
What's better than? Come on. What's better than Great Taste of the Midwest in Wisconsin? They have. I mean, they'll probably Packers fans will tell you that you know.
They have New Glarus. There's a lot of good cheese.
There is a lot of good cheese. I'm ranking those things below second and third below Great Taste of the Midwest. But so you go to the Summerfest. It's in Milwaukee, yeah, right?
It's only good thing this is a Chicago podcast. <'cause>... All
right. It's like 90 minutes away, right? It's super quick. You can get up Chicago's nicest suburb is how we tease Milwaukee folks, right? 2-week party, 13 stages, right? It's somewhere between like Lollapalooza and like the State Fair. Right, there's all kinds of like, you know, like rides and like amusement park shit there. But then it's also like a full on like 2-week concert, right? And this is our 50th anniversary. Oh, so anyway, I just wanted to shout out a few breweries, man. Water Street Brewery is on site there. Okay. And so is Lakefront.
Oh, no,
yeah. Lakefront did something every day at 4, special reserve stuff. Brandy barrel aged cherry lager.
Oh wow.
Was on tap there. Yeah. So it's the kind of town that shuts down. Well, first of all, it's 4th of July, so, you know, they're shut down, period.
Okay.
But then, like, even the day before and the day after, they everything closes at 9, right? So it was kind of weird. Oh, but I hit up this bar, and they were telling me about Like Minds. This bar had 2 Metropolitan beers on tap, which was cool, out of, like, 12. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they were telling me about Like Minds Brewery, you know, which is, I don't know, is it in Chicago still? Or they were in Chicago? Because they recently sold their brewery to Finch.
Right. They opened up a new brewery almost a block away from Goose Island. Right. And then Finch was, hey, we like that. Give it to us.
We like that. Here's a bag full of money. Oh, and it was the Goose Island. It was a Goose Island barrel warehouse
yeah. Before, yeah.
And we would joke. I have a joke with Calvin from Spiteful. Like, man, Goose Island needs to buy the space because this is one of the bigger spaces in the whole city for a brewery. They're a barrel warehouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so they sold the Like Minds. So this guy at this bar is telling me that Like Minds was started in Milwaukee. They wanted to start a brewery because they were just a restaurant and a cocktail bar. And then they started brewing at a different location in Milwaukee. So like, hey, you know, Wisconsin, we want to apply for this brewing license.
Yeah.
They said, no, wait, you already have a liquor license. You can't have a brewing license.
Oh, wow.
Why don't you go start your business in Chicago?
What?
Yeah, that's kind of what this is the story I'm being told. So they're like, all right, fine, we'll go do that. So they get a brewery down here, massive brewery, right? I want to say like either a 15 or 30 barrel system down here in Chicago, right? And it was all because they couldn't do it in Milwaukee.
Okay.
So then they got the system up, they're ready to rock. And then Finch comes along with the bag full of money and says, hey, this space is dope, let's buy it. And Like Minds is like, all right, cool, we'll just go back to Milwaukee and start our own thing. So they started a brewery in Milwaukee. But
now they could get the license, or is it a different name?
Well, here's the thing. So the cocktail and food location that they had died as a result of them not having enough resources to manage the Chicago and Milwaukee locations.
Okay.
So that location's gone. And now all they have in Milwaukee is a taproom. Isn't that fucked up?
Oh, my God.
I'm like, this is the worst story ever. But I didn't know any of that about Like Minds.
So Finch gave him a bunch of money to leave town.
Basically. And then Like Minds is like, hey, we'll just go back home. It's only 90 minutes away.
I haven't had much of Like Minds, if any. I don't even know.
Yeah.
I guess so. I just know the name.
Yeah, the town was...
And I get confused with Pig Minds.
Yeah, Pig Minds, Like Minds. And Pig Minds is the vegan brew pub in Rockford.
Okay.
And Like Minds is, yeah. But yeah, it's easy to, if you haven't had either one, it's easy to get confused.
Hmm.
But yeah, so I learned about Like Minds.
Okay.
So that was it, man. Yeah, Milwaukee Summerfest was good, though.
Okay. Well, cool. Sounds like we both had a pretty solid 4th of July. Coming up this week, though, there is like nothing happening that we came across. It's weird.
I hate to call it the dog days of summer because summer just started. Like,
Friday is a Friday night flights.
Right on.
That's happening. It's $15 if you buy it ahead of time. It's $20 if you buy it at the door. It's the location this week is over by the Arc Light Theater, Arc Light Malls, by the Apple Store, Clybourne. North Avenue area.
So we're talking Old Town ish, right?
Is that Old Town?
That's got to be Old Town, right?
It's
North Ave and Halsted?
Yeah, maybe that before Old Town starts. Yeah, something close to there. Yeah. Over by Cabrini or where Cabrini was.
Where Cabrini was, yeah. I thought that was Old Town.
Is that for Old Town? But so that you can check that out. You get 10 3-ounce samples for the price. And this is continuing of their summer Friday night flights that the mayor is doing.
Yeah, Choose Chicago and the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild.
Mm-hmm. Which I have not seen another podcast from him since.
No? It was just the one?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. Okay. I don't know. It hasn't crossed my path either. I haven't gone out of my way to look for it, but I haven't seen that.
So it was the Haymarket one was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So the mayor's like asking the Haymarket crew questions like that? Okay.
Yeah.
Right on.
He should have just hired us to do the podcast and then it would happen every week.
Yeah, and you can do, you know, mayor stuff.
Mayor stuff. You should be mayoring.
You know, why aren't you marrying, you know?
Anything, what else you got? Anything else?
I got nothing, man.
What?
Yeah, it's bizarre. It's a bizarre little gap in the in our flow of events.
Okay.
In the schedule.
Well, that's fine. I know we have a little bit of beer news to talk about. One of those things being AB's response to the independent beer.
Yeah, so on last week's episode, we talked about the new logo for the Brewers Association and how they're trying to, you know, start this independent beer conversation.
Yeah.
And then, you know, one of the largest corporations in American history, AB InBev, decides to, like, roll out, well, they call it 6 viewpoints from the high end. And the high end is the branding for all the breweries they've acquired.
Right.
Yeah.
Goose Island was not involved in this.
Which was interesting to me, right?
But who's the voice of Goose Island, right?
Right. Oh, yeah, that too.
Greg and Brett are gone.
Yeah, because Brett Porter is now like, Brett Porter, who was the brewmaster, kind of graduated to this status of like, you know, it's godfather status where he just kind of like all the other brewers report to him kind of.
Yeah, right? I don't even know if is he there still?
No, he's directly with the high end and all the other brewmasters consult him.
So he can't speak on that.
So he can't speak. For Goose.
But anyway, yeah. Goose wasn't involved in this little, basically, childish
It's a little disheartening because you could tell in the video that they were all given this this framework from which to speak, right? And it was about like an us versus them mentality. And it was weird because the AB InBev brewers, you know, we're talking Wicked Weed and Elysian and, you know, Breckenridge and all these others.
Mm-hmm. Ten Barrel.
They were all speaking from a space that, hey, we shouldn't be separating independent breweries from those that got bought. Right?
Yeah, right. That's what they're trying to say.
And they're saying
that we're being attacked from spirits and cider or whatever. Yeah.
And, you know, I would argue, like, you know, as, you know, someone who loves, like, coffee and whiskey, like, we as craft beer lovers find more in common with, you know, coffee producers and whiskey producers than we do these international corporations that, you know, that try to limit our options.
Uh-huh.
Right. I find more in common with guys that do this thing, these smaller things.
Yeah.
So...
It just felt like, why did you guys respond? You didn't need to say something here.
I mean, is it, okay, is
You're
it not?
Scared. It showed that they were scared.
All right, and, you know, and they have a right to be, right? But, like, let's look at this, and let's preface this by, like, we talk about AB and Goose a lot on the show because, you know, they're one of the biggest companies in the world, right? And then they bought our oldest brewery, the city's oldest brewery. So we talk about it a lot, you know.
And we know people that work there.
You know, we're friends with a lot of folks on the island. So whatever.
A lot of the breweries in Chicago started by people that work there.
Exactly, right? Like Goose Island is an important footnote in Chicago beer. Let's preface it by saying that. Oh, but I was going to say, like, you know, it's borderline ridiculous that they have the money to buy all these breweries, right?
Okay.
And then... Not only do they buy the breweries and take them out of the craft space, but then when someone criticizes them in the smallest, one of the smallest ways possible, their response is to take out a full editorial op in the Tribune, which they did.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, the high-end CEO took out this full, like, five-paragraph, you know, essay. He wrote, like, an essay in the Tribune, and then they come out with this video saying, almost saying, how dare you criticize us? And we're like... No, that's ridiculous. The whole thing's ridiculous.
Yeah. The worst person in that video is the Legion guy at the end. He says something along the lines like, oh, you know what's not punk rock is to not have the label on it. This dude is decked out in logos. He is wearing a Country Malt hat. He has a Adidas, like, jacket on with some other logo, and then he's got a Legion shirt, I think. It's like, what are you even talking? Like, how big of a sellout are you in your high-end video? You also are advertising, like, three other brands, dude. Like, come on.
I don't know what to say, man.
So he was the worst one.
But, you know, the Wicked Weed guy was close. It's close second. Because yeah. he's kind of comparing it to, like, the Spanish invasion of, like, you know, coming to it, like, the Native Americans bracing for Spanish. He's kind of saying something like, hey, man, you know, wine and spirits is this armada that's coming from the ocean. And here we are bickering with, like,
From the ocean where California produces more wine than, like, anyone.
I'm like, this is, I don't know. I'm like, this is Donald Trump's America, man. You know, this is what happens, man. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. So much wine produced in California. That's crazy. Oh, I think I shared the video on my account, and I think it was a reminder of, hey, these are the beers not to drink. If you're looking to hold ground on this independent, like, beer thing, like, these are the brands not to have. Like,
yeah.
Don't buy them at all.
Yeah. Some of the points that were trying to be made were geared around quality, but most of them were kind of like, it almost came off as pouting.
Yeah.
You know? Because, like, the Brewers Association, and rightfully so, it's a trade organization, wants to make a distinction on, you know, who owns what we're drinking, who's producing what we're drinking, what we're consuming. And there's nothing wrong with that, I don't think. But then these guys who have bought all these breweries to make up for the market share they lost, you know, is kind of playing on sensitivities and saying, hey, man, this is wrong.
Yeah. Do you think anyone in Chicago is going to put the logo on their beer? I feel like Chicago brewers on a whole almost stand on their own, like, they're almost like a, I don't even care. And also Chicago beer drinkers on a whole is like, I don't care about what you're doing and what you're trying to push on me. Like, I like all the options. Some of us will support these independent brewers and these craft brewers, but at the time we're also like, hey, I'm going to the baseball game or the football, or I'm going to see the Bears, I'm gonna drink Miller Lite. Because I know it's there. It's one, the cheapest option. So I'm just going to – I feel like Chicago stands on its own here, and they're just going to be like, nah.
Yeah, it's all really petty. And to your point, I don't think people are influenced either, like, by the high-end video or by the Brewers Association logo. I think people in this town drink what they drink, and it doesn't matter what those two, you know, they're in this are at the playground fighting each other.
Yeah,
I don't think it matters what they're all saying. Really.
And it's funny that Goose is here, and a lot of stuff with the high end maybe revolves around Goose happening because they have the biggest barrel warehouse. But you can't see any of those other beers. They're not coming into this market.
No. Like,
they can't. They would never. They cannot compete.
Yeah, I would say that even with those brands being acquired by AB, you know, you might have like a super cool launch week.
Yeah.
But I don't think any of those brands would sustain in Chicago. Mm. Yeah.
That's, I think, the biggest story of the last week. Anything else happened news related?
No. Oh, yeah, one more thing. Draft Magazine. They put out a story called The 50 Best American IPAs.
Okay.
Right? 386 entries into this thing. Shout out to Sketchbook. Out of 386, they were number 19 with Insufficient Clearance.
Woo!
Was their IPA.
That's awesome.
Let's go through the top three real quick. Number three, a brew from Sacramento, California called Fieldwork. I've heard of Fieldwork.
Yeah.
Virtual Planetoid. Beer number two, Offshoots, Fashionably Late. So Offshoot is the clean beer side project of the brewery.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Makes sense. And number one is a crew from Brooklyn called Interboro. They had a beer with Run the Jewels called Stay Gold.
Nice. Yeah. Okay.
So that was your top three.
And then speaking of lists, we put up a new list on Chicago Beer Pass. Top 10 Chicagoland's beach beers and cans.
Nice.
So you should check that out. We got things like Beguiles Blonde on there. We got Tuna.
Yeah, Tuna's nice.
Tuna's good. We got Beta Brow's Lawnmower Lager. I'm now forgetting, as I put this list together, I'm forgetting what's all there. But yeah, there's 10 of them. Great canned beers to head to the beach with.
Here. That's a good list, man, because, you know, on the half acre side, you could go Navaja, which is like 11%, and it's amazing. But on the beach,
yeah, you need something light.
You go Tuna, the extra pale ale. That's where you want to be.
Mm-hmm. Then we got Sun Crusher from Rev. We got Sun Standard from Blue Island. So there's a lot of good ones you should check out if you're looking to grab a can and head to the beach.
Right on.
So that's going to do it for this week's episode of Chicago Beer Pass. Not many events, but we filled our time this week. Nick, where can people find you, get in touch when we're not here?
Right on. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. We mentioned the Instagram multiple times here. Follow us up there. Facebook page / Chicago Beer Pass. And the website chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes get posted there. Links to iTunes, Stitcher, the YouTube version. We've been periscoping, streaming these too. So check that out. Yeah, you can watch and listen to this many a ways. Yeah. And we'll be back next week. With another episode. Take care.
Cheers.